Hello and welcome to this St Mirren radio special. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined in the studio by Tony Fitzpatrick. Tony, thanks for joining us today. We're just going to kind of start off from where you are now, Chief Executive. You've been in place since about February. How have you been settled in?
Yeah, James, I've started sort of settling about now. As you said, at the time it was a bit of madness, everything going on at that time. I feel now I'm starting to sort of feel comfortable within it. There's a lot of different things. It's not just the football side, which I really love doing. There's a lot of other things to take into the account. But as you know, and you work within St Mirren, there's a lot of great people here, a lot of great staff, and they've taken a lot of the load as well, which has helped me a great deal.
So we'll talk about your role as the Chief Executive a little bit more later on, but just firstly, can you tell us how your lifelong association with St Mirren began?
Yeah, it goes way back to I was 11 and a half years old, coming up for 12. I was playing in Glasgow for a team called Postle YM, and they were the sort of nursery to Aston Villa, and but there was a guy, Joe Hill, who was a chief scout of Aston Villa at the time in Scotland, was in Postle YM, and he sort of put me to St Mirren to train two nights a week as a youngster to try and bring me on a bit, because I was very frail and very small, and even at that age, and I came to train at St Mirren two nights a week. And so 12, when I was 13, I was a year in at St Mirren, more or less a year, two nights a week. It was a beautiful summer's evening, and I remember standing on top of the old Love Street end with my wee bag, and looking down to the park, and it was just one of these feelings you get in your life. People say when they walk into a house, they know it's their house or whatever. Well, I got one of the moments when I looked down at St Mirren's Park, Love Street at the time, and I thought, I want to play here. I just want to play at this. And although I was saying that to myself, I felt it was right inside as well. And I made my decision then what I wanted to be a St Mirren player.
So you're talking about there about starting kind of about 12 years old almost. Could you have imagined 5 years later at the age of 17 that Sir Alex Ferguson would have made you captain of the team?
James, no, I'll be honest with you, because there's a story behind this as well, to be honest. When I was 16, I thought my career was going to be over, because again, I'll be totally honest here, and it was a great blessing, but at that time it was hard, because I was just turned 16, and my girlfriend at the time fell pregnant, and I got married at 16, and with a beautiful daughter, Lorraine, and St Mirren were part-time at that time. I didn't know where I was going, if I was going to stay at St Mirren, because managers were changing and Sir Alec was coming in. And I was working under Willie Todd, the chairman at the time, as a painter. I was out in all the building sites painting big bits of wood all day. And I actually said to my wife, Elizabeth, at the time, I was going to give football up, believe it or not, because it was very difficult travelling through for Glasgow, no money. My wife at the time always wanted to be a footballer, so Elizabeth wasn't happy either. I wasn't giving her or Lorraine any attention. And I'd made up my mind not to, I was going to leave football. And it just so happened Sir Alec Ferguson came in, and he doesn't know this story even either, but it changed my life completely. Because when I went up the stairs to speak to him, he told everyone what he was going to let them know, who he was keeping, who he wasn't. So I'd turned 17 at the time, and I walked up the stairs, and you can imagine going into Sir Alec's office. Now, I generally thought he was going to tell me I was too small, too thin, wasn't good enough. And he changed my world, because he turned around and he stared into me and he pointed at me and he said, Tony, I've been watching you closely. And I thought, and my shoulders just dipped. I thought, that's me, he's going to say you're out. And he says, and you know something, you've got great potential. And it was like a shock to my system. It was like a slap in the face. I went, what? And I couldn't believe what he'd said to me. It was the first person really that showed any sort of confidence in me and my ability or that. He says, you've got great potential. This football club's got great potential. I'm telling you now, son, in 5 years' time, we'll be above, we'll not even be challenging Celtic Rangers. We'll be above Celtic and Rangers. And you can imagine, James, we were in the second division at that time. And I'm looking at him, and he was just the way he says, 5 years we'll be, and you'll be in Europe, and we'll be doing this. And he pointed to me again, and he says, and do you know something? I want you to be the captain of this club. And I was... And he says, do you believe the things I could say? And of course, I'll be honest with you, through panic, I said, yes. And so he took us downstairs and spoke to all the players. And there was players in that dress room, 30 plus, 27-year-olds, 32-year-olds. And he introduced me as his new captain. So the guy, Salah, changed my life completely. But you can imagine, I've told my wife what I was chucking for him. And I've had to go home, but she was delighted. And so, yeah, that's what happened with Sir Alec. And I must admit, I'm not just saying it, St Mirren started to take off. And my own career as well, to be fair to him. I started getting in the under-21s at an early age. And it just, but it wasn't just about me. It was about that St Mirren at that time was phenomenal. Though, when we talk about a community getting behind a club, Sir Alec... it's the only time I've seen it, only in all my years. There's people worked hard in the community since other managers, but Sir Alec had captured the whole community, whole of Renfrewshire, whole of Paisley. It was just an unbelievable time to be part of St Mirren Football Club.
Going back to the kind of captaincy, you're saying you were 17 and you were made captain and you're there with all these kind of 30-year-olds, 29, 28, kind of older guys. Did you understand the magnitude of being captain at that age, do you think?
No, I didn't. If I'm being totally honest, no. But I'll tell you quickly, I did. Because, again, Sir Alec, he was a young manager. But when Simeone made his captain, he treated you like a captain. He used to call me up to the office all the time and discuss a lot. I'm a young guy, but he'd be discussing disciplinary things. He would be saying... every aspect to the club. He'd be saying, Tony, we need to get into the community as well. He would go out in a white van, believe it or no, I hate to say that, but we'd go out in a big white van with a tannoid, and we'd be Foxbar, Fergusley, Gallahill, all the areas, and myself and a couple of the players, and Alec would be introducing me as his young captain. And the whole community with the Sportsman's Club was within Love Street at that time, with Supporters Bar. And that's a great thing I've found about. I think my spirit's coming slowly, and it is back now in this stadium, because the Supporters Bar up the stair, that's another part of the spirit of St Mirren. That was there in Fergie's times, and we used to be in that Sportsman's Club all the time, doing bingo nights with old age pensioners or young people. We're all part of that community. And when you played on a Saturday, you weren't just playing for the supporters that was there, you were actually playing for the whole community. You believe that in your heart.
And how did you get on with some of the older players as well as captain? Was there anybody that had a problem with it, or did you get on quite well with them?
Do you know something? That was a great thing, to be honest. As I say, to be fair, he did start to let players go, but there were still experienced players there. But no, I never had problems with older players. They sort of took to it. And I was very fortunate. I don't know why, but they took to it. And very quickly, as you say, he started to bring in guys like Frank McGarvey, Billy Starks, Peter Weirs, Lex Richardson's. No, that he brought Jimmy Bone as an experienced player and Jack Copeland in as an experienced player. So they were good types of lads as well. And it must have been strange for them. Jack was captain of Dundee United at one time. Jimmy was captain of Arbroath, and coming in as 17-year-olds, the captain. But to be fair to them, no, they never... and they respected you. They respected you.
You obviously talk quite highly about Sir Alex Ferguson, as I imagine most people in the game would. Could you see back then that he was a special manager, and could you imagine what he actually went on to achieve in his career as a manager?
Do you know, I think it's easy to say I did, but I did. There was something really special about him. It was his passion. Even the whole, just about the guy, his tactical, even in the days, awareness. No, in my day, the football we done training-wise was all running up and down terraces. Or you ran till you were physically sick and then they thought you were fit. Sir Alec came in with Ricky McFarlane. I've got to give Ricky McFarlane a lot of credit as well, who was his coach as well. Everything we done was with the football. This was, you know, you're going back 40 years ago or so. Everything was done with the football. We're running, all we're training. And it was, he had that sort of, but there was a great demand. There was a, yes, he was special. You could tell tactically he was brilliant. Man management, he knew every player. He was on every detail about everything. And he's a one-off. I mean, I've tried to copy him throughout my life in different aspects of it, but how can you copy a guy like that? But yeah, I felt he was going to be special manager, and it was a real special time at St Mirren at that time, as I said to you, and it did start from him.
How disappointed did you feel when he left the club?
I was absolutely gutted, Jim. I always remember, as I say, I was very close. He kept me close as his captain, and I remember getting a phone call. And I'll be honest with you with this, there was a lot of teams interested, myself, Bobby Reid, Frank McGarvey, players like that at the time. And Sir Alec would used to pull us into the dressing room and say to me, "Look, Celtic have made a bid, but you're not going. I'm building a team here," or whoever. And I got a phone call at 7:30 at night, and it was Ricky McFarlane to say, "Come down to the ground, the manager wants to see you." And I'm thinking, I'm saying to Elizabeth, "What's that?" I thought, "I must be getting transferred." So when I went down, I could see Alec wasn't, he was upset, and he told me he'd been sort of let go with the club. The club had sacked him, and it was just like a death to me. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't take it in. And I'll be honest with you, a couple of days later, I met up with him again, and he was taking the club to the tribunal over different matters. So I went a witness for Sir Alec against the club, because I believed in, I knew it was the truth he was telling. So I went to the tribunal as a witness for him. So, but the whole, shattered the whole place. It shattered the whole place. As soon as he went, and Jim Clooney came up, and he was a fantastic guy, great manager, but he wasn't Sir Alec Ferguson, to be honest. And Jim, of course, then they started to sell Frank McGarvey, they started to sell players, and that's how I sort of asked for a transfer as well.
So, then that was the point I was going to come on to. You moved to Bristol City.
Yeah.
Did Alec Ferguson's sacking kind of, did that motivate you to move on?
It did, yeah. It did, because I thought I was going to Aberdeen because they wanted me to come to Aberdeen. The club knew that as well, and Celtic had made a bid as well, and it's between Celtic and Aberdeen. But I think as well the club weren't too happy about the Aberdeen situation, and so they said, I'd asked for it, I went in and I said, "Look, you've sold Frank McGarvey, you've sold Robert Torrens, you're selling players, I want to be part of something that's going to be successful." And so they said they would sell me. In the days the club had the power, James, to go in, so they sold me to England, and I went to England.
So how did the move back to St Mirren? You were there for 2 years at Bristol City.
Yeah.
How did it come about that you came back to St Mirren?
Do you know, it's incredible how this happened, because Sir Alec had been on the phone to me. Roy Hodgson was the manager of Bristol at the time, the English manager there now, and he'd made me captain, and I was doing really well at Bristol at the time. I was back in the Scotland squads and stuff, but Bristol had overpaid too many players and was getting into trouble. So they had to sell players. So they sold Joe Royal. The older people listening will remember these names. Joe Royal got sold to Norwich. Jerry Gow got sold to Man City. And that was the next one to get sold. And I thought I was going to Aberdeen again, because I'd met with Sir Alec and more or less agreed to go there. Celtic had come in, and then St Mirren came back in. And it was amazing, because Ricky McFarlane was the manager by that time, and Louis Kane was the chairman of St Mirren, who I knew very, very well. And it was between the three clubs, and by a great stroke, what had happened was Alec Ferguson wanted Peter Weir for St Mirren, and Ian Scanlon was coming here, and Ricky wouldn't sell him Peter Weir, because I was going to go there as well to Aberdeen, and he felt that Aberdeen, this is Ricky's words, it would fail. Aberdeen would be really strong if they get Peter and myself, so they're saying we're not going to sell you Peter Weir then. And it sort of messed about like that, and then Aberdeen, in the days, whoever put in the most money, you got. So St Mirren bid the most money out of Celtic, Aberdeen and St Mirren. And Ricky came down and spoke to me with Louis Kane, and I just felt, again, in my heart, what I wanted to come back to St Mirren, so I came back to St Mirren.
Did that show the affinity that you have with this football club, that, you know, Aberdeen and Celtic, you know, Aberdeen in the 80s were huge, that it was St Mirren that you wanted to come back to?
Yeah, and Aberdeen were just starting to, I remember, God rest my dad now, but I remember speaking to my dad on the phone and saying, Fergie's wanting me up at Aberdeen, but what like are they? And I always remember my dad saying, listen, Tony, they're going to be a special team. But he did say again, I know if with St Mirren involved, you're thinking that. But my dad, to be fair, wanted me to go to Celtic. But as I say, the affinity came through at the end up. St Mirren did bid more. I could have said no and hung out. But after speaking with Ricky and Louis Kane and I just felt, and Lisbeth as well, to be fair, at that time as well, we just had left St Mirren 2 years earlier, and we loved the club, so it was, and we had a really good team, to be honest. I know we could be challenging, so I came back to St Mirren.
And it was obviously a very fruitful second period. You know, sometimes it's an old cliche in football, don't go back, yeah. But you had a really successful second period at the club as well, playing in Europe. Obviously one of the famous nights was against Slavia Prague, yeah, at Love Street, 3-0, yeah, in 1985. Yeah. What were your memories of that night?
Fantastic memories, James. As I say, coming back, as you say, people say, well, you should never go back. But, by the first 2 years, it was a bit difficult. And I think you'll maybe touch on that. I was only back a matter of 6 weeks, and my son Tony took very, very unwell. And that was a two-year period after that where sadly Tony passed. But after that, it started to sort of, the club was still doing well anyway, but it was great. And I remember the Slavia Prague, I remember playing in Europe against Feyenoord as well, against Johan Cruyff and Ruud Gullit and players like that. Mechelen, who actually spent millions of pounds in the days, they actually won the Cup Winners' Cup, played in that against some of the famous players there. So it was a special time at St Mirren to be in Europe, but we took that for granted at that time. The team we had, we were always in the top four, we were always in Europe, we were always in semi-finals, the Scottish Cups, League Cups, getting beat after replays. That team, and I'm not just saying it, I know the 1987 team, we won the Scottish Cup, but the team I played in, Fergie's team and Ricky McFarlane's team, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but they were a far better team than the team that won in 1987, if I'm being totally honest. And how we never won anything, just bad luck at times.
Now, I have to touch on it. It's obviously unfortunate in some ways, but from the high of beating Slavia Prague 3-0 to Hammarby in the next game, over 30 years on, are you over Hammarby yet, or is it still a tough point?
Well, you're probably looking at me now, and I just see when the name Hammarby gets mentioned, and I think every St Mirren supporter will be the same, and I'm sure every other player, I know I can only speak for myself here, a shiver goes down my, a real horribleness enters me, and I hate speaking about it, but sometimes it's healthy to speak about it. We went away, that Hammarby game, we went away from home, drew 3 each, Brian Gallagher got a hat-trick, came back, always remember, 1-1-0, 86 minutes, 87 minutes, Frank McGarvey coming off the park and going into the bath, because we'd won the game, 1-0, and double goals and whatever. And I always remember young Stevie Clark at that time, I'm standing in the halfway line with a free kick with Stevie, and I say to Stevie, I asked the referee, I says, referee, how long to go? And he goes, 2 minutes. And I turned to Stevie Clark and I says, look, just knock it to me. I'm going to knock it into the corner. That was one of the, just to spoil the game and push into the corner and finish the game. I says, Stevie, we've had a night, because we weren't playing well, but we're 1-1-0. I says, and I did say to him, I always remember saying, we've not done well, but we're through. And he touched it to me, I played into the corner. And, but within a space of 2 minutes, they'd scored to equalise, then they scored again but got it disallowed, then they scored again to put us out. And it's not even funny, but a funnier story was, I was first in the dressing room. I remember I wanted to be physically sick. I ran into the bathroom and Dave McGarvey was in the bath, full of soap and his hair and his face, singing. He didn't realise what would be put out. He thought I was kidding him on, but I think he could tell with my face. And then Alec Miller came in and he could see, and the place was in an uproar. But it took the club, you know, it stunned us as a team for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it's still to this day, it's one of the... But to make you a better player, to make you a better person in life, you've got to experience these things. And I don't want to experience that, but the club had to experience it as well to grow. You have to, as an individual, experience these things to grow as well. But as you can tell, James, it still hurts me, and that's the word. I feel it, and it's not a nice feeling. I'll be honest with you, that and getting beat 5-0 with Celtic at Love Street for them to win the league as a football player, it was one of the hardest things in my life to take.
What was it like, though, if we look positively at Europe as a whole, what was it like playing in Europe at Love Street under the lights?
It was absolutely fantastic. For the supporters, for the town, though, you were getting, like, say, Fernoy coming to it, as you say, Slavia Prague. It was a great, great feeling just to be under, as you say, the old lights, the night, 7:30 at night, floodlights, maybe 15, 18,000 in the stadium, against great. You're putting your skills against guys from different countries. And even the travel away after, it was a real... It's something that I really want St Mirren to experience again. And why shouldn't we? When you look at what's happening in the Premier League, when you see Ross Counties, and I keep going on about teams like this, Inverness, Thistle, Dundee's, teams like this. No, I'd love St Mirren to experience being in Europe again.
And do you think it is something that they can achieve in the near future? You mentioned some teams there. If you look at St Johnstone, they won't be playing in Europe next season, no. But they've been playing in it for the last couple of seasons. Is it achievable?
Oh, very much so. I mean, as I say, even without the Leicester this year, when you look at Leicester, I think that was one of the greatest things that's happened in football. And we all talk about positivity, and we all talk about a group of guys and getting together. And yes, it's very possible St Mirren can play in Europe. I think this club, as a Premier League club, I've always said it, we should be in the top four of Scottish football, top six at least. I look at Motherwell, they were in the Champions League playoff things. How no St Mirren? So nobody can convince me otherwise. Now is the process of getting that back in. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. I wished it did. But as I say, I believe in my heart. I wouldn't be back here, James, if I didn't believe we could be up challenging again in the top of Scottish football. And by that, I mean, as I say, right up there, challenging, and also in Europe.
So going on to a career highlight for you now, the 1987 Cup final. You'd obviously spent a lot of that season out injured, but how special was it being back in time for the final and just that whole kind of occasion?
Do you know, James, it was very special. As you say, I was very unfortunate that year. I got bad injuries and I never had played in any of the cup ties at all. I hardly played a league match, but I'd never played in any of the cup ties up to the final. And I generally thought, my time, you know, when we got to the final, I thought, I've no chance of playing. The manager will go with whoever who's got them there. And a couple of weeks before the cup final, we had a game against Rangers at Ibrox, and Alex Smith spoke to me to say, look, I'm play even for half a game or whatever, but if you play in this game, there's an opportunity I could maybe get you on the bench, because I feel, I know you're not going to be fit enough, but he believed in me a wee bit, which I could keep the ball and stuff like that, maybe play a part if it went extra time or late in the game. And it was an unbelievable feeling for me, because I'd gave up and everything, because I say I wasn't physically right either. I'd lost 2 stone, all different stuff had gone in my life. and it was, as I say, it was brilliant, the lead up to it, and I felt part of it as well, because I know the guys did, the squad at the time, we made a song, we were going away together for days at a time down to Sea Mill, and the whole build up was fantastic. And I've got to give Alex Smith and Jimmy Bowen and Bobby McCulley, Archie Rose, guys like that, great credit, because they kept a great harmony within the dressing room. The balance was right. It was fantastic. So I got through the Rangers game and I was put on the bench, which was phenomenal. The only thing, again, selfish when you look back, you know, I'd been captain for years and years and years, and then that year, and it was meant, you know, because Billy was and ended up, fantastic player, the two played together, and it was his moment to be captain of the team, although I was club captain, but it was his moment and deserved it. But as a selfish, you say in football, you look back and think, God, I was captain for there. But anyway, to even take part in the final was incredible. And I always remember in the dressing room before it, and the build-up before it, and just before the end of the game was, if I'm being honest, doesn't matter, we've won the cup, so it doesn't matter how the performance was, but the two teams, it was a poor cup final, and there was a couple of minutes to go in full-time, and Alex sort of pulled us aside and said, look, why don't you go in now, and he's trying to get a grip of the game, and get yourself on and get on the ball. And so I got on with maybe 3-4 minutes to go before the end of the game, and I played the full extra time. And it was great to be on the park when Ian Ferguson scored.
What was the atmosphere like before the game with the players? Was there apprehension or was there excitement? Were you confident going into it?
Do you know, we were very confident, because Dundee United was always a team we felt we could do well against. And we knew they'd played 4 days before in the UEFA Cup final or whatever at Gothenburg. And we knew if we played at a high intensity, then we would get the rewards late in the game. To be fair, that's the way the game started. So, but it was great in the dressing room, and we had a great belief. No, there was a great belief. And although, and again, no disrespect to that team, we had some great players in that team as well. No, when I look at Billy Abercrombie, Ian Ferguson's, Frank McGarvey's, you know, you can midfield Paul Lambert. I could go through the whole team there, to be fair. They were all good players, very good players. And really, we deserved to win it at the end up.
So you just touched upon some of the names there. Frank McGarvey, Paul Lambert, Ian Ferguson. Do you think St Mirren will ever see the kind of likes again? Is it maybe a Scottish football problem that we don't see players of that level being produced? Or do you think that it's maybe just we might see players like that again?
Well, I think so. I really think so. I mean, as I say, I go to the, been in the job, I love going up to the academy. We've got a new academy boy, Alan McManus, in the head of the academy, and Ross Patterson has younger kids as well. But there's so many coaches up there. But looking at the players up there, and I'm just looking at St Mirren now, I'm not even looking at other clubs, but St Mirren are starting to produce players of that quality. When you look at the boy Kenny McLean, John McGinn, the big boy Naismith, I mean, and I think there's a couple for this year. I think young Kyle McAllister, and I've got a wee sneaky suspicion about Lewis Morgan this year. I've always had it, even last year, I know he got the injury. But there's some, Stephen Mallon, of course, is in the team, so you tend to forget about him being such a young player. But Jason Naismith and these guys, they'll get a great career in football. But I generally believe, I'm just talking about St Mirren now, and I'm sure Celtic, Rangers, all the other teams will have special young talents. But yeah, I do. I think St Mirren will definitely have the likes of these players again.
You mentioned there the likes of Kenny McLean, who moved to Aberdeen, John McGinn, who moved to Hibs. You look at how well they've done. They've even kicked on another gear.
Yep.
Do you think that's a positive thing for St Mirren, though, we, as a selling point? And say, look at the talent we've produced. They've been in the Scotland squad now, and they're highly regarded.
Very much so, James. I think if we're trying to attract young players, and that's one of the talks I'm sure Alan will be having to the parents, is look, mentioning the names you've mentioned, mentioning the boys that's in the first team, and now there's a pathway here for the younger players. But I would like to think now, in my role at the club, we want to keep our young players. Sir Alec Ferguson, again, way back in the days, never sold his players. He kept them. And we've got to get ourselves in a position at St Mirren where we hold on to the Kenny McLeans, the John McGinns, the Kyle McAllisters, all these type of players. Just don't sell them. Hold them. And we'll get success then. That's how you get success. And then when the time's right, of course, maybe these young players then will look at a Man United or move into England. I'd hate to think, as I say, I know John McGinn and Kenny McLean, no disrespect to Aberdeen or Hibs, but I think they're better than that. That would have been me here. If I was advising them, and they have kicked on, to be fair to them, they've got internationals, but I think they're bigger than that. I think our players here, like, say, Stevie Mallon, shouldn't be looking at the Dundees or St Johnstones. My psyche doesn't take that in. If our young players come here and do well, their ambition should be the top flight in English football.
Do you think that maybe reflects upon the changes in football since the English TV deals, kind of the money that's down in the English Premier League and even the Championship is just another level? Do you think that maybe reflects upon the fact that they can buy in players from all over the world, that the top leagues, you can see your mid-table teams in the English Premier League are signing, huge stars from the Bundesliga and whatnot.
It does, and if I'm being totally honest, James, it's unfair. It's unfair, the money that's getting put into the Premiership, and not even just right down to the Conference. I mean, there's teams, we've lost out on a few players this year who have went to the Conference in England instead of coming to St Mirren because they're paying maybe $4,000 or $5,000 a week. How can you come? Now, they're only paying that because they're getting the money for the TV. Now, I look at that and I think, what's going on here? Why are they getting all the money? No, I'm not a political guy at all. I've done no idea, but I'm no daft. I look at it and I think, why are we not getting investment here in Scotland? No, and you've got to look at it and you've got to look at the Premier League. And there's got to be, and it's great they've come up with the idea of the League Cup. Whether it works or no, just new, but let's try something new. And that sort of excites me, maybe in the future, looking at our league and trying to do different things with it. Because there is a lot of good teams in Scotland, though. Maybe it is time to change a bit. Whether it be 16 teams, I don't know. I've not really thought it out myself yet what would be best for Scottish football. But there's probably brainier people and better creative people can come up with different things. But yeah, it's so sad where the English clubs have always had that money and they can come and take your players. But one thing I want here at St Mirren Football Club, they'll not just come here and get them for next to nothing. I think that's important.
Do you think, if you look at, some people might think, that's good moves for Kenny McLean and John McGinn, and what English Premier League team is going to come in for a player from St Mirren, sorry. Do you think that you maybe want to look at what Falkirk do? They've had quite a lot of players have gone down to Swansea, Fulton, yeah. Kingsley, who now is playing for Swansea and he's been in the Scotland squad. Do you think that is a possible opportunity? Well, obviously you want to hold on to younger players longer, but they can go into the English Premier League.
Of course they are, and I say the two boys I mentioned there, McGinn and McLean, who left last year or so, the year before, they could have went into a Premiership team in England and built, and they're good players. So, I can see what Falkirk's done, and they've been very shrewd about their business. They've tied in with Swansea. There seems to be a tie in there because they buy most of their players, and that's given them a lot of money to sort of budget-wise compete, and you could see the season they've had this year. But they've developed, and to be fair to Alex Smith, he stood up for Falkirk at that time, the youth academy, because he wanted to scrap it. But Alec was always a great believer in youth, and what he did was he put his job on the line, really. He says, we need to go with youth. And you can see it's worked for him. And it's the same at St Mirren Football Club. It's the last thing it should be ever touched here. It's been nurtured now since Alec Ferguson's days, but especially nurtured with David Longwell the last 10 years. And already in his short space of time, Alan McManus has shown some great qualities there as well. And I'm sure in the future for St Mirren, we're going to develop top, top players.
And again, going back to that Falkirk mention, they've obviously, we've mentioned some of the players they've sold, they've still got the likes of Will Volks this season, yeah. Craig Sibbald, you know, yeah. Is that a, should that be the kind of, yeah, the model for St Mirren?
Well, James, when you look at these players, when you, as you said, so when you look at Falkirk, Celtic, Swansea, they're getting £1 million. They're getting £1 million for their players. Now, that's different. If you're looking into the millions, then, of course, you're looking at it and saying, do we let one player go to, you know, try and give us a, get four or five players in the first division to get us out of this league? But I think we've got our own. Yeah, I mean, you've got to look at successful teams, and Falkirk, to be fair, have been successful in the youth, building youth and selling them for the proper. And that's what we've got to sort of do. Let's get the proper prices for our youth players if we're going to, and when we're ready to sell them. But I would like to think young players, it was like way back in Sir Alex's time, you know, there was teams interested in four or five of our players, myself included, but we wanted to stay at St Mirren because we felt there was something special, and that's what we've got to bring back. And I really think the club now, and when you look at the club, the supporters, and I'll be honest with you, it's always been my dream to support us to own the club. I know there's other people might come in now and say, and I always support, and I always will, and I would say to MD's face, the supporters of the community, not just St Mirren support, the community of Renfrewshire and Paisley should be the owners of St Mirren Football Club.
On young players still, do you think it's maybe, the club maybe needs to kind of push its message a bit more and market itself a wee bit better? I think if you've ever been in the tunnel, again going back to Falkirk, they've got a big board in the tunnel which highlights all their young players that have graduated through their academy when they made their debut. And you look at some of the names, Scott Arfield as well, another one that moved down to England, Tim Krul, who was on loan, Casper Schmeichel. Is it worth maybe St Mirren shouting from the rooftops and saying, look at what we've produced? You know, Paul Dummett, who plays week in, week out for Newcastle, was on loan here as well. Is it something that maybe St Mirren need to do better?
I think you're absolutely right. I don't think over the years we've shouted enough about our young players. No, Hamilton Accies. I've watched Hamilton Accies, I've watched Dundee Uniteds, I've watched the Falkirks. The players we have had here have been every bit as good as any of their players. But the difference is they've been in the press, they've been shouting about their young players, where we have went the quiet route. But that's hopefully going to stop, because we should be proud. The young players were starting to produce. Look at Stevie Mallon, 14 goals for, no, I know it's the third championship, but in a first division, what other young players done that in Scotland? Could anybody tell me who scored that and played as many games as young Stephen? So, yes, you're absolutely right. We should be, and there's a great idea what you've come up with, James. We should be right there at the Hall of Fame, or I know they've got that, but for young players who have all come through, I know there's something up at the academy they keep in the wall to inspire young players, but why not in the main stadium here? Because we have developed some top, top players, and that line will keep going on and on. Because I see it, I'm witnessing it myself for the really young players in the academy, for the babies I call them, to the under 20s. There's some special talent and they'll get their chance. They'll get their chance. Alex proved that way, putting young Kyle and Jordan Stewart on in games, very important games, and they've changed the game at times for us. So for any young player, it's a great, great starting point.
So you were talking about youth here. You worked as a youth development coach before as well. Now you're the chief executive. You were a player at St Mirren, but you were also the manager of the club as well. How did that feel, and was it always your plan when you retired to go into coaching, do you think?
Yes, it was always my plan to go into coaching, but it happened so quickly. As I say, the following year, the sort of cup win, the team was in decline, and it was we were going to get relegated. Actually, it was three games to go, and it was against Rangers at home, Hearts away, and Dundee at home, and we had to win at least two of them to stay up. Especially the Hearts game away from home. If we never won that, we'd have been real trouble. So happened as Alec and that had left, and the director at the time put myself and Frank McGarvey in charge, and I got the sort of to take the team, and Frank would assist me on it. So we could be 3-0 with Rangers at home, which was so disappointing. But then we went to Hearts and won 1-0, which was a fantastic result. Paul Chalmers scoring. And then we beat Dundee 1-0 at home at Love Street. And we stayed up, and with our some strange thought, they thought they had a great manager. I was player at the time as well, and the directors decided what I could be the manager they were looking for. And I spoke to Sir Alec, I spoke to different people I took advice on, and they told me to take it. Players, I was 31 at the time or something like that, player manager. And but if I've been totally honest, I wasn't ready. I was completely, I had no coaching background, no management background. I just played football. I was one of the boys in the dressing room, so to be no thrown in, I wanted in. But I'd done it by the seat of my pants, really. I managed by the seat of my pants. And I gave up my all, to be honest, but I just felt I lacked different things. And so after, but I managed to keep some under the Premier League, and we stayed up there, and hopefully people remember some of the players we brought. It's like anything in life, I always remember my first targets, and you wouldn't believe this, would you? St Mirren bidding £750,000 for two players. Dundee, I went on to Jockey Scott and bid for Tommy Coyne and Keith Wright, because that was the two strikers I wanted, along with Kevin McAllister, who was at Chelsea at the time. Spoke with him at Glasgow Airport. That was going to be my front three. But Dundee wouldn't sell that time. But Jockey then moved to Aberdeen, and they took Keith Wright, and Tommy Coyne went to Celtic after that. Their offs would have maybe would have happened, but I thought we'd get great replacements when we brought Torvison, Gooney Torvison in, and Thomas Stickroth, players like that, Victor Munoz, experienced player, because Paul Lambert was very young at the time, Norrie McWhirters. I wanted to show the young players here at that time how top professionals would go. So, but I managed to do things like that, but overall, I just felt I was out of my depth as manager the first time.
Talk a little bit about Victor Munoz. You talked about him there. I mean, the experience that he had coming into this football club, a massive signing. How did it come about?
It was incredible, because Steve Archibald had played for Hibs the year before and had been top goal scorer for Hibs the year before. And me looking at St Mirren team at that time, I felt we needed a goal scorer. We never really had a goal scorer. So I signed Stevie. I spoke to Steve, and I signed Stevie Archibald. Well, I was talking to Steve Archibald, he says, are you looking for a midfield player? He says, my best pal's Victor Munoz. He's going to go to Tottenham. Terry Venables was taking him there for a year. He just wants to come over and learn English. The guy won the UEFA Cup with Sampdoria. He'd been Barcelona's captain before that. And he can't speak English, Tony, but his wife Sylvia does. But I think I could get you a meeting with him, if you would be interested. I'm saying, we couldn't afford anything like that. But the guy was a multi-millionaire as well. They didn't need money. And I know stories were put at the time. He was, how could someone pay £5,000 a week to anybody at that time? They couldn't. But him and Steve came. They were on the same wages as the other players. But that's another story. But I met Victor with Steve, who speaks fluent Spanish, and I said, we had young players, Lambert, McWhirters at that time, and Steve was joining the club. So we managed to get Victor to come to the club, and I always remember the first time I'm going to get him with George Pratt, who was a great close friend and secretary. It was a month at the time. We picked Victor up at the airport, and we come back to St Mirren, and the old Love Street, we were running up the stairs, and Paul Lambert and Norrie were at the bottom of the stairs, and I always remember Paul Lambert when I came to going, is that guy Victor? He was, because he was recognisable, wee Victor. No, he was a famous name in the days. And always, James, one of my proudest moments as well, when I went to Barcelona's ground, the Nou Camp, and I seen a sort of thing on Victor, and it was Barcelona, Spain captain, Barcelona's captain, Sampdoria Cup winner, and at the bottom, St Mirren. So that was one of my proud moments, to have his name on his CV, St Mirren. But that's how we got him. and he was such an asset to the young players. He trained, although he was 32, 33 at the time, he trained every afternoon. Him and Steve Archibald took the young players out every afternoon, worked with them, showed them how a professional should live off the park as well. And it was such, it was fantastic for Paul Lambert and the guys. That if you speak to Paul to this day, he would tell you the grounding he got up with these guys and at our club at that time.
It's almost unfathomable to think about that happening now. It's almost would be like a Xavi joining St Mirren now. Yeah, you know,
don't rule it out.
Is that something you plan on doing, bringing in Xavi?
I'm sure Alec would.
If we move away from football for a wee bit, we obviously know you've written the book, The Promise, Together Again, yeah, which is about Baba Coochie Bear. Can you tell us a wee bit about that?
Yes, I can, James. If I could go back to when I moved up from Bristol, there's a story behind it, and it helps me even talking about it, so it's healing for me. So when I moved back up, within 6 weeks, my son Tony was starting school, same school as my daughter Lorraine, but they were starting school. He was starting school. He was 4 and a half, and within a few weeks in at school, he took a very serious illness called acute myeloid leukemia. And but Tony was a fantastic. He came to all the St Mirren games. He loved the St Mirren as well, although he was young. But I had a nickname for him. I used to call my daughter Baba Coochie, but I called Tony Baba Coochie Bear because he was very hairy. And he big, when he was born, and he had a masses of hair on his head. And so I called him Baba Coochie Bear, and he loved that name. So Baba Coochie Bear, that's where that comes from. Sadly, when Tony passed away in York Hill Hospital when he was 6 and a half years old, when me and Elizabeth, my wife, came walking out the York Hill early in the morning, and the sky was the most stunning rainbow I've ever seen. It was a double rainbow in the sky. And it was a strange thing, James, because when I looked up at this rainbow, I felt peace inside. I couldn't explain it. So as the months went on, I started, if you knew my background, it's a shock. Well, I started to write things down, but I thought of Baba Coochie Bear, the rainbow. And as the years passed as well, I sort of penning a wee story. I'd love to see Tony again, what we would do. So I started writing about Tony and stuff. And then I came up with Baba Coochie Bear. And Tony used to get treatment in his arm at times. We'd walk about the hospital with the with treatments, and I changed the sort of stand to a peace pole, a simple wooden pole. It says, "May peace prevail on earth." That's the message on it. So Baba Coochie Bear, the rainbow, the peace pole all gathered together. And as I got thinking about things, I remembered back to my daughter, who was only 8 and a half, 9 when Tony passed away. And we couldn't speak about it. It was a very difficult thing, and bereavement is a very difficult thing to speak about. Even the neighbours would cross the road away from you because they didn't know how to speak to you because they broke down or they made you cry. And I thought, you know something, if I could write something where a parent, because I used to read to my daughter and my son, Tony, at the time, if I could write something where a parent could, or a school teacher, but especially parents, could read to their children about bereavement. And I did. I started to think that through Baba Coochie Bear, where he's been given the great gift of the peace pole. When he places it in the ground and says, "May peace prevail on earth," a beautiful rainbow appears, and Baba Coochie can walk people through the rainbow, especially children, to change the world. But for the first story, The Promise Together Again, James, I thought, I'll do it through bears. I'd love to do it through human beings, was to walk Saber the great bear through the rainbow to meet up with his son Theo, who he's lost, who's into the long sleep, he's passed away, and they spend a day together in the magic forest again, doing other things. Like me and my son, really, was we used to love going to Barshaw Park, but it was the magic forest, so he would go there and play in the swings, he'd kick the ball, they would go swimming, they would do other things. And then within that, to speak about bereavement, bring up things, where are you now, what's happening, things we all want to know about. So that's where the idea came from, and I started writing that down. And it's a great legacy for Tony. It keeps his name alive as well. And it's just been an unbelievable journey for me, James, the Baba Coochie Bear. And the next book's coming out maybe in 6 weeks' time, which is totally different. It's Baba Coochie again, but he's going to be a football player. But that's how The Promise was done, The Promise Together Again.
So I'll come back to the new book that's coming out soon. But how's the feedback been that you've got from The Promise?
Do you know, it's been incredible. I've met incredible people. Before I joined St Mirren, even and since I've joined St Mirren, but there was people with the website up, of course. So people were, I was amazed. People were coming on and buying the book from California, all over the place. And I thought, oh my God, this is incredible. And people were visiting Scotland, not to see me, but they were coming to see their families, they're going to see Rangers or Celtic, or, and I was meeting them for a coffee, and they were saying how the book had helped them. They'd lost, not just a child, there was people who had lost adults, their pets even, and they were saying the book had helped them. So, and it, to be fair, it, and the idea behind the book as well was to support, we'd sort of helped a, no sort of, we did, we helped a village in Malawi. I can't pronounce, it's terrible, it's Ngwami. But we supported a village there, we've got a chicken farm there, we've got a creche there, we've got a children's land where the kids cultivate the land, and this was all done through Baba Cucci. And so we've sent there, we've also hopefully supported the Robin's House rates, different things with books and different stuff. And that's the Tony's legacy, as I say, it's Baba Cucci Bear. We want to, again, it's been received incredible. There's been great feedback for businesses in Paisley. Some businesses have actually sponsored books to put into schools, to put into hospices, to put into hospitals. And hopefully monies we're gathering for that will help regenerate the areas I'm telling you that we've supported. We're supporting so many things. And also to try and maybe the next time, instead of me, I'm not saying this badly, instead of me, because I sort of self-published it and all these things, where we can, we opened the social enterprise, Five Little Stones, Baba Cucci Bears under, and we can sort of now do other books and get out there. We see it, I want Baba Cucci to be known globally, I want him known throughout the world. He's known well in Malawi, the village, the kids from villages are going to others, into the village where Baba Cucci's creche is and his children's land and his chicken house, and they use it as a limeys. They'll say Baba Cucci is a hello and a Baba Cucci is going away. So you can see I'm feeling so excited about it. It's beyond my wildest dreams, which has happened with the book and with Tony. So Tony's legacy is carrying on.
It must give you an incredible sense of pride, everything that you've achieved with the book.
Do you know, James, as I say, without getting into a big long story, and a lot of people don't know it, but I'm dyslexic as well. I was very uneducated at school, didn't want nothing to do with school. I just wanted to be a footballer. And I can hear my teachers screaming in my ear, they knew, Fitzpatrick writing a book, who are you kidding? They would never believe this. And I think it's in everybody. I think there's creativity in everybody. It happened to be, it came out in a book for me as well as my football, but it came out in a book for me. And it was a great healing for me. Just to, I remember writing the story, writing about, because it was Tony, really, Baba Cucci, writing about, and I laughed when I was writing it. I cried. I went through every emotion, what everybody goes through in loss. And it was a great healing. And hopefully, as I say, people have reported that back to me when they've read it to their kids and they've read it as a family. Because it is a family book. Because I'm not a writer by any means, as I say about my background. Again, without being too deep or whatever, if you don't believe in God now, because that's where that came from. I couldn't write. I mean, it's incredible what's happened.
And we'll touch now on the second book, which is coming out in a couple of weeks. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, well, it was a bit of my own experience, although, Baba Cucci, because I look back and I see it so many times, and not St Mirren, I've got to admit, because that, and how I'll explain this, James, is even when I go around to watch youth games, when I watch that, I hear scouts all the time, oh, he's a great player, but he's too small, he's too thin. And I went, wait a minute, that's what I went through as a kid. I get told that at Aston Villa when I was a kid as well, when I was training with St Mirren at the time, I went down to England, and they said, you'll never be a football player, you're too small, you're too frail. So what I did was, through Baba Cucci Bear, he's set out on this journey to become a a football player and to win a football challenge, and what happens within his community, which happens your school teachers at times, even within your own family, friends start to tell you, you'll never be a footballer. So he's got to fight all this. And so he's gone through that journey of being too small, too thin, never be a football player, give up. And the book's called The Dream, You Can Do This. And I believe any young player, they'll go through challenges. It might not be too small or too thin. It might be you're not quick enough, you're not good enough. We hear this all the time. This is the message that get put out. But keep that belief in yourself. And just giving you a wee instance in the book is I met Sir Alec about 6 weeks ago. I managed to spend a day with him and his son Jason, and he loved Baba Coochie Bear, and he's going to do the foreword for the book and endorse the book. And also he was laughing because Baba Coochie Bear's manager's called Sir Alec Bergeson, and he found that quite funny. But the great man's getting behind the book as well. And I really hope it helps youngsters, because within it there's, of course, healthy eating, what you should be eating as a footballer. Although it's done through Baba Coochie's a bear, but there's humans within the story as well. But also maybe coaching points in it, you know, running with the football, keep your head up, using your body, different ways. So there's all good ideas, hopefully, within it, where any kid can read. And there'll be wee maybe drills within the thing to try and help them become a football player. So I felt Baba Coochie got out with the promise together again. He's done that part. He's helped in bereavement. But my son was a normal wee boy. He loved football. So I thought, and he was up to all the tricks of the day, even at his early age with his sister. So I thought, let's do a football story. And I'll be honest with you, I know Inspire Sport, a company who take kids all around to all around the world, to Barcelona, or all the best, not just football, all sports. They're sort of been great behind the book as well. They're sort of sponsoring a good bit of the book, which will help us to get it out through England as well. So, but a good friend as well, Jed McCabe, and the chief executive, a guy called Steve Bouchard, for Inspire Sport, believe in Baba Coochie and the messages it can bring with their brand as well. So it's all been great, James.
So you talk there about Inspire Sport, and we know that Inspire Sport brought over the Belfast Metropolitan College to the Paisley 2021, and they were down at Ralston as well. Do you think that your work with Baba Coochie and some of the businesses you've tied in with can help you here at St Mirren?
James, that's the idea behind it, and my interview as well, because the directors, to be fair to them, knew I'd been away from St Mirren for nearly 20 years, but they didn't realise what I'd been doing with my life as well. So I'd went away and developed as a businessman, really, as well, tied in with top businesses. I do leadership qualities. I was going into the shipyards, BA Systems. I've been into McVitie's Biscuits, doing in Heathrow Airport. So I've tied in with sort of big companies, along with a great friend called Gavin White, who's one of the best business gurus you'll come across in life, and he deals with the top companies. And I'd been sort of shadowing him for many years and going in doing motivational talks myself about my life and about leadership qualities. And Inspire Sport was one of these companies who I felt could bring a lot to St Mirren, and they have done already. We've had three groups visiting here, and one of them, as you said, was Belfast, and we're tied in with Cliftonville as well, who are in Europe. There was players there who'd played, when the boy played an under-21 game for Northern Ireland against Scotland, scored the goal against Scotland. So we're making, not only is Inspire Sport going to bring revenue into the company, and that's one of the companies I'd signed a contract with before I came to St Mirren, so I've brought them to St Mirren. We're actually going to rent an office to them round the corner, so not only going to rent offices, not only are they going to take hospitality and get boards, they're bringing groups for all around the world. They've just tied in with China. They're in Hong Kong, China, America. We want to bring as many people into St Mirren as possible and get all these links in, because we want to be a global team. No, I know, look at Celtic and Rangers, but you've probably seen it yourself, James, been involved with St Mirren, and great what you do with St Mirren TV and radio. there's a lot of expats all around the world are St Mirren supporters and want to hear about St Mirren, want to be part of St Mirren. So why can't we bring their kids over here? Why can't we go and visit them and get the brand out to St Mirren? So that's where I think companies like Inspire Sport could come in. We want big companies like Glasgow Airport there. I'm doing it Heathrow, but we want Glasgow Airport. Look what Amanda McMillan's done in at Glasgow Airport. Look what that woman has done to generate Glasgow Airport. We need to tie in with people like Amanda and Glasgow Airport. Malcolm's got, I could get Chivas. I could get some major, major companies here. Now, we are tying in with them even before I come in. Don't get me wrong, it's not me coming in saying, oh, I'm doing this and doing that. Because Campbell Kennedy and Kate and James, you're in here. You see the staff, what they do here. No, the work in that, I'm not just saying that. I came in thinking myself, right, what will I do here and looking at. But everybody, if anything else, what we want to do is bring more success because that means hiring more people. We need more people, to be honest. And that's where I go to Smicer and the Fans Council. They've been behind the club as well and bringing things to the club to try and help the academy grow, to try and help St Mirren grow. So, yes, and spugging back to your question, I've mentioned 100 companies there, but Inspire Sports, a special company, the deal and travel, I think they can bring a lot to St Mirren.
You talk about as well the boy that scored for Northern Ireland. Is that important in terms of even for first team, you know, getting players from all over, almost like a kind of a different way of scouting? Because as you mentioned, we don't have a lot of staff here at the club. Money's obviously tight in the playing budget and whatnot. Is that a way of maybe attracting players that otherwise you might not have spotted?
James, that was the main reason what you've come up with. I know I was saying about revenue coming in and bringing people to the ground, but you're right, we've not got a big... Gary Piggott and the guys do a great job for the scouting, the younger players and stuff. But there we had the academy from Belfast over. There was players within that, and we've got an opportunity now. There's two already we're talking about bringing over. But we want to go to England, all the different academies. Let's bring players up here, as you say. It's another way of scouting. And Alec, and the great thing about Alec and David Farrell, you seen the time they spent with that account? The emails we've had back, the feedback we've had back for Ireland and even in England when we had the younger English kids up, the manager of St Mirren, the assistant manager of St Mirren, are sitting talking to them for an hour. What other club would they get that? Now, that's a great selling point for guys under 21-year-old are thinking, wait a minute, this is what a club this is. The manager's here talking to us, and it gives us an opportunity to tie in with all these players we'd never even get a look at.
So moving back to the football side and the first team side of things, League Cup draw was made on Friday in a group G with Hamilton, Livingston, Ayr United and Edinburgh City. You looking forward to the group stages? Something different?
Yeah, very much so. As I say, it is a different concept. I played many, many years ago, 40 years ago, in that concept where there was five teams in it and you played each other and stuff. But I think, to be honest, we've got a Premier League club, Hamilton. If you were asking me who I'd have loved to have picked, I'd love Partick Thistle because of the relationship between Thistle and St Mirren. But Hamilton is going to be a tough nut, of course. I think Livingston, we've had our games last year against them. Ayr United's coming up into our league, so that's a good one. And I think Edinburgh City as well. It's different. It's totally different. But it's a group, as I say, I think Alec would be looking for us to progress in.
You talk about Edinburgh City. They're coming into the league set up next season, having beat East Stirling in the playoffs. Do you think that's exciting to be one of the first clubs to play them now that they're in the league set up? It's a whole new team.
Yeah, and I remember away back as well with Meadowbank Thistle. They were Ferranti Thistle and they came in as Meadowbank Thistle, and we were one of, I think we were the first team to, either the first or second team to play them. So here's Edinburgh City, as you say, and I think that's another challenge. I mean, they're going to, for this group, they'll be fired up and want to take a scalp somewhere. And I think it could be a good group. As I say, we've got to look to progress out of that and into the next rounds, because that's when the other teams come into it as well. Like, see your Celtics and stuff like that start to come into it, who all of a sudden you could maybe be getting a game against them.
obviously, from a revenue point of view, you're looking at maybe getting a Celtic or Rangers, and if you go through in the next round and maybe getting the kind of money-spinning tie at home, where you thingy. What about even potentially a game against Morton in the League Cup? Do you think, how much excitement do you think that would bring?
I think any game against Morton brings fantastic excitement. But again, this is maybe me just talking. I know Alex like this and David Farrell's like this. Okay, be great. Let's look for the money spinners, but let's look to win it. Why shouldn't we be winning the League Cup? I mean, I know this is just the start of it, but you've got to have these goals in life. We've got to. I know it'd be nice to get a Celtic, but it's not just to get. If we get Celtic in the next round, it wouldn't just be a money spinner. It would be to put them out so as we can progress. I think Alex's mentality and David, and I know my mentality and about the club, we've got to feel that, is we should be going in. We've got a great chance of winning that. No disrespect to Edinburgh City. I'm not trying to make them any more harder for us to beat. But if you were saying to me, who could win the cup, Edinburgh or St Mirren? I'd be saying St Mirren could win the cup. Edinburgh would be a real hard, hard thing for them to win it. So we've got to look positive. We've got to look and let's start with the first ones there in that League Cup section and really go and enjoy it.
Looking at the League Cup, last season Ross County won it and they knocked out Celtic in the semi-final. This season as well, Hibs won the Scottish Cup, a team from the Championship winning the Scottish Cup. Is that proof that it can be done by St Mirren?
James, you're just saying, and that's what it's about, isn't it? The years before that, 3 years before that, we won it and we put Celtic in the semi-final. This can be achieved. It's the belief again. Surely, when you look at Leicester City, and that was over a period, you're not talking about one-off games. If they can do it with a bunch of players who want it, who really, that's what I talked about, and I'm not just saying this, going back to the Alec Ferguson days and stuff like that. There was a group of players there that really believed they could get in that Premier League and could compete in it and do it and win it and whatever. And that's what our players at that time, okay, Alec left, and he was the mainstay of getting everybody to believe that. But I totally believe in my heart that St Mirren can win the League Cup.
And we look towards the league now as well.
Yeah.
Really exciting league next season. Dundee United have been relegated from the Premier League. We still have Falkirk and Hibs are still going to be in the league. You've got Dunfermline and Ayr coming up. Renfrewshire Derby again. How exciting is that going to be, do you think, and how much are you looking forward to it?
Do you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I thought it was fantastic. Again, maybe if I'm being totally honest, I wanted Kilmarnock to come down because I think again it would have been, but anyway, we've got the teams who we've got. I think you look at our league, what a league it's going to be, and that's how it's important that we do got off to a good start this year. I think since Alec came in, you can see we've really progressed and we'd have really been pushing for that top four without a doubt. So, yeah, I'm really excited about the challenges of Dundee United's, the Hibs, Falkirk, of course. We'll see how they do this year. I'm sure they'll do well again. But the Morton one's still there. And I think it's been healthy, Dunfermline coming up, because they're already throwing money at it, trying to buy players in, and they're United. What I think about these teams, I know they're big clubs, and they'll bring supporters here. They'll bring atmosphere to this club, along with our own supporters. And that's what we need at a football club. And it's that, if any businesses are looking, I know, and looking at that our division, thinking, my God, what a league this is going to be. We should be part of this. So it's sending these positive messages out, and hopefully players as well that we're trying to recruit will look at it and think, well, it's going to be a top league, I want to be part of that.
Talk to us down, you know, you've touched on it a little bit about player recruitment. We know Andy Webster signed a new contract, Callum Gallagher signed a new contract, Rocco Quinn as well, and we've signed Kyle Hutton and David Clarkson. How are things working on the recruitment front at the moment?
Yes, it's been slow, James. But that doesn't mean Alex no been. And I have witnessed it with Alec. He's on chasing players all the time. We have lost out on a couple of players, to be honest. There's a good few targets which we're trying to get in. And I'll be honest with you, what happens is we make our intent, what we want to sign a player. The agents phone you, and then you say, yes, we want this player. Then they suddenly disappear for 4 or 5 days, but they're trying to do what's best for their client, probably. We've got interest in St Mirren, so they try and sell them elsewhere. But we're actively chasing, hopefully we'll have a few. This is a quiet period, and this is the contracts just finishing for other players as well at the end. Now, tomorrow, the 1st of June, is the start of players really finishing their contracts. A lot of them are on holiday. Some of them want to sit about, because we're looking at players as well, Premier League players. We're looking at all different aspects. So, of course, players are trying to do what's best for them. They're looking to see if they can maybe look up the leagues a bit or whatever. But I'm quite confident. I was delighted Alec get Kyle Hutton, and I think he'll be a great asset to the team. When you look at him last year against us, he was player of the year at Queen of the South. He's a good type. He's a good footballer, aggressive as well. I think Alec's made it known as well with the boy Clarkson, getting him fixed up, Rockles, as you've said. I think a big boost for us is Naismith coming back into the team. I think he'll be a big plus for us. And I'm really excited about it. We're still to get maybe six or seven players to come in, but we've got the basis here, a really good team already.
You talk about the basis there. Do you think there's a good balance? Because you mentioned Jason Naismith, still a young guy. Jack Baird, still young coming through. Yeah. Stephen Mallon, Kyle McAllister, Lewis Morgan. And then you've got the more experienced players like Clarkson, Quinn, yeah, Irvin Webster. Do you think that's a good balance as well? And it's maybe only a case of adding in a wee bit more quality here and there to make up the numbers.
I really do, James. I think the balance is very good there. If you look at it, you've mentioned all these players here. And I know the players, Alec, without giving anything away, is looking at. There is a couple of experienced players, but there's younger players there as well who he's looking to bring in, which could add to. Because let's be honest, you know what I mean? We've got to look. We've got to sort of, and I know it's putting pressure on everybody within the club, but you've got to look to win this league. Why shouldn't we? So at least you look at the playoffs. But I'm not even thinking of the playoffs. You're thinking, let's win the league, let's go for it. So Alec is generally looking at, he's working so hard, him and David Farrell behind the scenes, to get players in.
How well have Alex Ray and David Farrell done since they came in December?
Do you know, I think they've done unbelievable. I'd be the first to say, different, but I thought they'd done really well in the January market, bringing Rocco in, David Clarkson in, Gary Irvin in, players like that. They got the best out of the boy Watson as well, Andy Webster. I think just coming in, if you look at the record, it's not even just look what they've done, they tightened everything up, but we started to win games. The big thing for me was winning five of our home games, maybe six of our home, but five of our home games at least, which is a place we couldn't have won 8 months a league game before. We went on a great run. I think, I still believe in my heart, we're working with Alec and David. If they're given the right tools, they'll get us promotion.
And that must be the aim then for our next season, is to be pushing for promotion.
It's got to be. I mean, you've got to be. Why look at other things? If you've got that mentality, why should we be sitting here talking? I mean, you've really got to believe that in your heart, which St Mirren are. I know we've got plans afoot, the 5 years we've spoke about and whatever, but we need to get there as quick as possible. We need in that Premier League.
So, as right now, we're recording this on the 31st of May. Before we came into the studio, you were talking to Lynn at the ticket office, who sold over 1,700 season tickets before the start of June. How impressive is that?
Very impressive, because I think people have got, see the bug again. I think the last games of the season, the games like Morton, Hibs and Rangers, really sent out a message with St Mirren are meaning business. And it's so important. People don't realise how important these season tickets are. It's the difference for us going and getting good players in. That's what, say good players, they're all good players, but what I mean is, the difference is somebody buying, see if we get an extra 300 season tickets, we can then go and get players that can take us into that Premier League. That's what you're talking about. And don't underestimate buying your season ticket. And I can't thank the fans enough now, because it is very early and already we're hitting over the figures you're saying. But you know the dream, James, here is to get, we've got an 8,000 seater, we want 7,600 season ticket holders here at St Mirren and be able to gear the rest 400, which you've got to give other teams. I'd hate to give other teams, but you've got to give other teams their wee quota. But I know it's a long way off the now because we're only down at nearly the 2,000s, but I truly believe in my heart we can get that back at St Mirren.
How important are the fans to the club?
Oh, vital. I mean, it's vital, and you can see the fans believe that themselves because they're trying to buy the club for a start. But you just had to witness the Morton game here, the Hibs game here. Although Rangers, you've seen the St Mirren supporters were here that day, were singing and loved the performance for the team. And a big thing, I think, won over the supporters. Anybody had any doubts, why they did have any doubts anyway with Alec Ray, you just have to look at the Rangers game and look at the last minute equaliser and how him and David Farrell celebrated. And I think it convinced everybody within Renfrewshire Paisley, Alec Ray is what everybody gets happens at this club. It's been into your heart, and now he's a St Mirren man, and we've got to progress this club forward.
And on the fans again, you mentioned the good atmospheres against Morton, Rangers and Hibs. Bring a buddy was one of the first things you did here, and we got 3,888 at the game against Queen of the South, which was more than 1,100 that were at the previous game against Queen of the South. Is that something you'll look at doing again next
Definitely.
Season?
Definitely. We've got to look at these. And do you know, it was one of the proudest moments. Do you know what I loved? I sat behind the goals that day, and I'm not saying that I did, and it was full of families, full of kids. But it was after the game, James, it really brought it home to me. We walked down the stairs and we're all walking by the dome. And I took a minute, I looked in front of me and I seen a sea of black and white of kids and their families. I looked behind me and it was all packed with St Mirren supporters all filtering out. And I thought, this is the way it is. And the cherry on the cake, as you can imagine, was as I was walking, somebody recognised me. There was a guy in the car park going, "Oh, Tony, can I speak to you?" And I thought, "Aye, what is it, mate?" And he went, "I can't get out of the car park." He says, I've been sitting in here for 10 minutes. I can't get my car out of the car park." And I went, "Good, get used to it, because this is what we want." We want this. And it was, you know, to see families again and to see, and Alec right after the game, see the players and Alec, to be fair to them, they were one of the first when I was standing in the reception, come up and went, "What a difference." The atmosphere that... The kids just to, I knew as a player, I was captain of St Mirren, and the players used to say to me in the dressing room, the old Love Street, "Win the toss, Tony, the coin, and we'll shoot into the supporters behind the goals in the second half." Because when you're tired, or when you're shooting into the goals, or getting corners, or free kicks, or throw-ins, the noise coming, the supporters are vital. We keep saying it, not just at St Mirren or in the world to say this, but I know I played under these supporters, I played for these supporters. They mean the world to the players. So get behind the players this year.
And does that give you encouragement? Because does it show you fans are still out there?
They are here. They are here. But it's about the product in the park. Let's not kid ourselves. It's about the product of St Mirren's Football Club. It's about the message we're putting out here. Are we serious? It's not just the support. Are we serious as a board? Are we serious as the chief executive now? Are we serious as the staff to bring this great club back into it? The supporters will click on you. If they see signs of we're wanting to do this, they'll get behind us. They've proved it throughout the years. They turn out for cup finals. So if they'll turn out for success with cup finals, we've got to give them success at the club, and then they'll come. It's down to us within this club to prove. The supporters will always come. They want to be part of St Mirren, but we've got to prove to them we want them back.
Something the supporters have been talking a lot about on social media, and you mentioned you've been getting emails about it, are next season's kits. Can you maybe give us an insight into what's happening there?
Yes, I can. It's a vein of your life as well, because you definitely, I'm one as well. I like to, and I do go on holiday at times, and I used to love, take this season, I always thought, right, no, have this new strip out as soon as the season finishes. I personally think that's the way it should be. Kids, families travelling with St Mirren new kit. But I'm afraid to say, in the modern world, that doesn't happen. And it's hard for JD, you know. It's easy to criticise people, but it's no, they've got ourselves in Inverness here, but they've got English clubs as well. They're getting kits made up. Now, they've got all that. But we've tied in with a company who support St Mirren brilliantly, to be fair to them, both financially, money-wise, and through the academy, giving the kids gear, giving the first team gear. So we've got to be respectful of the deal that was done. Now, this deal was done before even I came in, so I'm not blaming that. It's a fantastic deal. So I'd love to have been part of that deal, bringing that to St Mirren. So let's get that straight. But it is frustrating. It's frustrating for me because we want to have our strip out the new. We want to, and I can't even give you a date. Hopefully this week we find out when the launch it's going to be. So it's frustrating, James, but please understand the frustration. But it's just something that now we have to, not put up with, but persevere with, please be patient. And they are patient people. And I know I'm as desperate to get my St Mirren, new St Mirren top as the kid is as well, 8-year-old or 9-year-old or the father. It's wanting to show that kit off. So honestly, behind the scenes, we're pushing all the time to try and get that. But I understand it, and this is no just sticking up for JD Sports. They are a great, they have been a great sponsor for St Mirren.
And so it's just a case of basically when the club knows,
the fans
supporters will know.
The first to know. They'll be the first to know.
Well, Tony, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon, and all the best for next season.
No, thanks, James, for being able to put my points across. That's fantastic. Thank you.